Current state for Thursday, the 26th of the month. I'm Mark Bayshore. Among Detroit's many challenges, one painful reality is dwindling population. In recent years, the city's become known for surreal, sparsely settled urban prairies that thousands of residents used to call home. Back in January, at his investiture ceremony, newly elected Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan devoted a few moments to city residents who were thinking of leaving the city. He made a request.
Just give us 6 months, okay? Give us 6 months to prove that we can turn things around. Just push the pause button and don't leave that house yet.
Well, Bridge Magazine's Mike Wilkinson took note of that request, and 6 months later, he and several colleagues at the Detroit Journalism Cooperative have assessed the impact of the Duggan administration on the city. He joins us now. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning, Mark.
You benchmarked the city back in January, and this week you assess what's happened since. Talk to us briefly about a few of the key benchmarks that you started with back in January.
Well, anyone who looks at the city of Detroit realizes there's a host of problems. It's incomparable in many areas, from the quality of its schools to the levels of crime to the amount of vacancy and blight that exists. And we wanted to kind of lay, as Mr. Duggan was coming into office and as the bankruptcy proceedings were beginning, we kind of wanted to lay the base for where the city stood. And right at that investiture, Mr. Duggan decided to kind of lay down another marker and say, in 6 months, I'm going to make things better. He doesn't control all of the levers of power just yet in the city because of emergency manager Kevin Orr controls the police and other aspects of city finances. But Duggan kind of laid down the marker and said, I'm going to improve lights, blight, and buses, as we kind of have kind of shorthanded it. And so we've gone back 6 months later because he said, as you heard in that clip, give me 6 months. And so we looked at what he's done in those areas and then – again, in some of the other areas where he's had less of an ability to make a change, but just because of his lack of control of the issues. I mean, he doesn't run the schools. He doesn't control the police department. So he doesn't have complete control of what happens. But we did look still at some of those things that are there.
Well, 6 months isn't necessarily a long time. How much data did you have access to really look at?
Well, that's part one of the vexing problems. You know, the way the Census Bureau, the way the FBI collects data, it's typically in year-long increments. So when he picked this time frame, you know, right away we knew there was going to be a challenge to figure out whether or not he had met what he said he was going to meet. And this is one of the handicaps that we have as kind of watchdogs. The numbers that are produced in this short term mostly come from his office. He tells us how many buses he has. He tells us how many lights were fixed. Obviously, we can't go out and count the 9,000 streetlights that were repaired that they say they were repaired. He tells us how many homes are being knocked down a month. 500 now, I think, and with the goal of getting to 800. So he's kind of set the parameters of what he wanted to do. And he's also the one that's kind of been releasing the numbers to prove whether or not he's met those parameters.
You also spoke with residents, though, and I'm thinking their responses, even though a lot of this is unquantifiable, it may be immeasurable, and too much of the data comes from the mayor's office to feel, you know, really totally convinced about this. How do people on the ground, how have they responded to what's happening in the city?
Well, I think, you know, one, he was elected in a surprising way. He was, you know, the first white mayor since the 70s in a city that's predominantly black. I mean, people wanted change. And I think his election has kind of taken advantage of that desire for change. And, you know, as I think any mayor has gotten, there's been a little bit of a honeymoon. But when you talk to people at the bus stops, and you know, we have a video on our website today, you know, www.bridgemi.com, where we talk to people at the bus stops. And yes, it's not perfect right now, but they are seeing changes. There are cameras on the buses. There are more buses on the street. Sure, you're still waiting an hour in many cases, and it's hard to rely on them to get to work on time, but they are seeing incremental change. And I think there's a hope, I think the hope is mixed with a lot of desire as well, that they sense there is a positive direction to the city right now.
You've touched on lights and you've touched on buses already. The missing one there is blight. There's been a lot of reporting on addressing blight in Detroit. Does it add up to progress over the past 6 months?
Well, one thing that has taken place in the last year is the city, and this is before Mr. Duggan took office, the city has invested in trying to completely quantify how bad is the situation. And about 2 weeks ago, a report came out that was pretty sobering. Over 80,000 structures needed to be addressed. Many of them have to be knocked down. A number of them can still be rehabbed and saved. But the price tag, I think, on the residential alone was over $800 million. Where's that money going to come from? This is a city that's already strapped for cash. Obviously, there's a hope that through the bankruptcy proceeding, that bill will come down a bit, that some of those bills will be lowered so they won't have to spend as much money on debt service to pay for pensions and for past expenditures. But still, $850 million in a city that needs more police officers, that needs better services, more buses, it's going to be difficult to come up with that money. However, there are a lot of people who support these efforts that they know that, for a neighborhood to get better, the dilapidated, rundown house that's been sitting there for 5-6 years has to come down. People aren't going to feel safe when their kids still have to walk by these buildings. So there's a mixture of we need to know this to happen. We have to find a way to solve the problem. And now that we've identified it, we have this great program that has mapped all the structures. There's a sense that now that we know where they are and we have a quantifiable number, we can address it in a strategic and systematic way. And that's what the mayor has been talking about is, we're at 500 a month. We want to get to 800 a month. Well, 800 a month still is going to take you 10 years to knock down all these houses. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take some time.
Mike Wilkinson is with Bridge Magazine. He and other members of the Detroit Journalism Cooperative are assessing the impact of Mayor Mike Duggan on the city of Detroit at the six-month mark. It's scarcely believable he's been there even 6 months. It's been a blur. You and others at Bridge have focused on jobs as well. Are more people working in Detroit?
If you look over the last 5 years or so, yes, there are more people working in Detroit. Dan Gilbert of Quicken Loans has brought a number of people. He brought his headquarters downtown. He's been expanding his workforce markedly. Are those Detroiters? In many cases, they're people who are driving into the city. But the unemployment rate is down. I mean, it's not. I mean, we still. There was a point at the height of the recession that worst case scenario, half of the working population in Detroit was considered unemployed. That's not the measure. The true measure was, the one that was always reported, I think, was in the 20%. But if you counted those people who had given up, if you counted those people who were working less than full-time and wanted full-time, the number economists said approached 50%. It is probably lower, but a number of the jobs that are being created right now aren't necessarily going to the people in the neighborhoods. They don't have the skill set to work to write code for Dan Gilbert's software ventures. Mm. But the hope is as those people work and as they move in, they will be creating jobs that will help the people in the neighborhoods.
The mayor has been very straightforward about the ultimate barometer of his success. It's increased population. Will there be more people in the city at the end of his tenure than there were when he started? Are there more people in the city today than 6 months ago? Do we know that?
That's one of those things where he's established many people call. I mean, it sounds like it's marketing. Oh, yeah, I want to be judged by one number. He can't control the number. The Census Bureau counts people, and he can't report that number. He can only rely on someone else to do it. So it's kind of bold that he's putting his marker and saying, this is the one I should be judged by. But we don't know so far. I mean, the Census Bureau came out with a report today, the population estimates at the county level. And between 2012 and 2013, Wayne County still lost an estimated 17,000 people. Well, Detroit's the largest municipality within Wayne County. It stands to reason that at least half of those people came from Detroit. And we know from the school enrollment patterns in Macomb and Oakland County and from the housing patterns that a lot of these people are still opting to leave the neighborhoods of the northeast and the northwest sides of Detroit and are moving to the southern portions of Oakland and Wayne County. Macomb and Oakland County. So we know that people are still moving. Demographers wonder, was it too bold of a claim to put his eggs in that basket? Because, he can attract people to Midtown, and he can attract people to Corktown and to downtown, And that's a different population than what's in the neighborhoods that's suffering, where the blight is the heaviest, where the jobs are the fewest. And those people, in many cases in recent years, have opted to move across 8 Mile. And many are moving just out of the state as well.
Our guest is Mike Wilkinson of Bridge Magazine. I recommend Mike's work and his colleagues' work on the Detroit Journalism Cooperative, which updates or really reviews, assesses the first 6 months of the Mike Duggan administration in the city of Detroit. Mike, many of us outside Detroit are just getting to know Mike Duggan. I am struck by a willingness, what appears to be a willingness, to really be held accountable. He is putting numbers out there and saying, I'm going to meet these. It's a pretty bold approach. Tell us more about that.
This is a pattern of Mr. Duggan in his public life, and I guess when he worked at the DMC, the Detroit Medical Center, you could call it his private life. It looks a little bit like brand development and a little bit like marketing, but I talked to people who worked on the inside with him and who have competed against him at the ballot box, and they say, no, what he does is he and he has said as much, he sets these expectations, he makes it public, he makes it simple, and the changes that it requires behind the scenes are more complex, and they end up being real. And a little in a story I wrote today, a lot of people in the Detroit area remember when he took over the DMC. It was a failing health system. It was just flooded with debt at the time. And he left the prosecutor's office, and he went there. And when he got there, very soon after he got there, he found, that there was a lot of inefficiency in the system. And at the time, Oakwood Hospital, which is a large hospital chain in the Metro Detroit area, had said, our emergency room will get you to see a doctor in 30 minutes. And Mr. Duggan said, we're going to make it 29. People inside the hospital said, well, that's not possible. We don't have the staff or the administration, filling out the paperwork. He said, I don't care. We're going to solve the problem. And I was talking to Richard Cole, who was one of his top assistants at the time, and he said, they've solved the problem. It meant getting people discharged from their hospital beds earlier so that someone from the emergency room could go into that bed. That freed up a bed. It meant streamlining the process on the front end to make sure you didn't have to fill out, three forms before you saw a doctor. And ultimately, you got to the 29 minutes. It was a simple number, but it required an exhaustive overhaul of the hospital's operations. Likewise, in the city, he said, lights, buses. Well, to get the lights fixed, he had to work with a number of other agencies. The state just yesterday approved bonds to buy more lights. Blight, he had to work with a number of groups to identify the blight. Now he's going to have to go out and get the money to do it. And with the buses, he's hired mechanics. He's found solutions to get more people, more bus drivers on the streets. And he's hoping that the U.S. Department of Transportation will come up with another 50 buses. So it seems simple on the front end, but he's doing the work and his people are doing the work in the back end to make sure it's a reality. And it kind of sets a public marker where his colleagues are going to have to do the job so that he doesn't look bad. And that's the politics of it. I mean, that's where he's going to get the results.
Fascinating stuff about Michigan's largest city, where it's at now, and what the future looks like. For a really good series of reports on this, check out bridgemi.com. Mike Wilkinson of Bridge Magazine has been our guest. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much.